In this session, we're going to take a look at the self-assessment regime, and in particular, we will concentrate on the filing deadlines for self-assessment returns, penalties for late returns, and due dates for payment of income tax and capital gains tax. But before we do that, let us take a few minutes to have a look at the structure and organisation of the revenue. We know that the UK tax system is administered generally by central government, but the ministry concerned with the collection and imposition of taxes is the Department of the Treasury. The Treasury is also known as the Exchequer, and at the head of this department you will find the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
The administration of taxes in the UK is in the hands of Her Majesty's Commissioners of Revenue and Customs. As the name suggests, the commissioners are technically appointed by the Crown. The commissioners, in turn, appoint civil servants to do the actual work of administration. These civil servants are called Officers of Revenue and Customs, often shortened to Revenue Officers. Until recently, there were two separate bodies responsible for tax. The Inland Revenue dealt with direct taxes, such as income tax and corporation tax. Customs and Excise dealt with indirect taxes, like VAT. In this session, and the ones that follow it, we are concerned with the administration of income tax and capital gains tax. So, rather than use the long-winded name of HM Revenue and Customs, we will simply refer to the revenue.
The revenue manage the UK tax system on a day-to-day basis via a network of local tax offices. We now have TSOs, Taxpayer Service Offices, and TDOs, Taxpayer District Offices. The TSOs have a day-to-day administrative function, while the TDOs carry out compliance work, such as audits and investigations.
A two-tier tribunal system, comprising the first-tier tribunal and the upper tribunal, deals with points of dispute between taxpayers and HMRC.
Self-assessment is the regime by which the Inland Revenue assess and collect direct tax in the UK. At present, we have between 28 and 30 million people who pay tax. Out of those 30 million people, between 8 and 9 million of us prepare income tax returns under the self-assessment system. Taxpayers who are self-employed must submit tax returns, as do individuals whose taxable income is above the basic rate threshold, and who therefore pay tax at the higher rate.
Taxpayers who have untaxed income also have to file tax returns. The most common example of untaxed income, i.e. income from which tax is not deducted at source, is property income. If you rent out a property, you have an obligation to report the property income from that rental to the revenue by means of a tax return.
Finally, any taxpayer who has made a chargeable capital gain in the year also has a duty to submit a self-assessment return. We can see, therefore, that there are around 22 million people in the UK who pay income tax but do not have to fill in an income tax return. These will primarily be employees whose tax is deducted at source under the pay-as-you-earn system. Similarly, basic rate taxpayers who do not owe any more tax on their interest or their dividend income do not generally need to fill in a tax return. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of self-assessment, let us take a look at the requirement to notify chargeability to income tax or CGT. The basic idea here is that if you become chargeable to income tax or capital gains tax for the first time, you need to write to the revenue and inform them that you exist. Keeping a low profile and earning income without paying any tax is a serious offence under tax law, and one that can carry a stiff penalty. If an individual becomes chargeable to income tax or capital gains tax, he has a duty to notify the revenue within 6 months of the end of the tax year in which he became chargeable.
Assume an individual is self-employed and he starts to trade in the tax year 2010-11. He becomes chargeable to income tax for the first time in 2010-11. So, the taxpayer has 6 months from the end of the tax year 2010-11 to give notice of chargeability. The deadline for notifying HMRC is the 5th of October 2011. In our example, we have taken the example of somebody who becomes self-employed in 2010-11. But the notification rules apply in the same way if a taxpayer has a capital gain or any untaxed interest or some rental income in 2010-11. If the taxpayer misses this deadline, the revenue will charge a penalty. The penalty will be based on the behaviour of the person concerned and is a percentage of the potential lost revenue. The potential lost revenue is the amount of income tax, including Class 4 national insurance contributions, if relevant, and all capital gains tax unpaid at the 31st of January following the tax year, as a result of the failure to notify. For a deliberate and concealed failure, the penalty will be a maximum of 100% of the potential lost revenue. For a deliberate but not concealed failure, the maximum penalty will be 70% of the potential lost revenue. And for any other case, for example, due to lack of care, the maximum penalty will be 30% of the potential lost revenue. A failure is deliberate and concealed where the failure is deliberate and the taxpayer makes arrangements to conceal the situation giving rise to the obligation. This would include creating false evidence of a non-taxable source of income to explain undisclosed income, creating false invoices to support inaccurate turnover figures, or destroying books and records. A failure is deliberate but not concealed where the failure is deliberate but no arrangements are made to conceal the situation giving rise to the obligation. An example of this would be where a person has deliberately failed to keep records necessary to know when a notification is required, even though they knew it was likely that the conditions for notification would be met. Reductions in the amount of the penalty are available for both unprompted and prompted disclosures. The table now appearing on your screen details the maximum and minimum penalties that could apply. For example, if a taxpayer has failed to notify and his behaviour is deliberate and concealed, he will be charged a penalty of between 30 and 100% of the potential lost revenue if he makes an unprompted disclosure of the failure to HMRC. Note that where the taxpayer is simply careless in not making the necessary notification, the reduction in the penalty also depends on how long has elapsed since any tax or NIC first became unpaid as a result of the failure. Disclosure is unprompted if the taxpayer has no reason to believe HMRC have discovered or are about to discover the failure. Disclosure takes place where a taxpayer tells HMRC about the failure, gives HMRC reasonable help in calculating the resulting unpaid tax, and allows HMRC access to records to check the amount of unpaid tax. The actual reduction in the penalty depends on the quality of the elements of disclosure, including timing, nature, and extent. We can illustrate the failure to notify penalty provisions by considering the position of Oscar. Oscar started to trade on the 1st of July 2010. He was very successful and did not have time to consider his self-assessment responsibilities. As a result, he did not notify HMRC of his self-employment by the 5th of October 2011. HMRC contacted Oscar in July 2012. And as a result, Oscar appointed a tax advisor. HMRC were subsequently notified of the self-employment. The tax return for 2010-11 was filed in August 2012, showing tax and NIC due of £15,000. It would appear that the failure to notify HMRC of the self-employment by the 5th of October 2011 was due to carelessness, as Oscar did not deliberately decide not to notify HMRC. The maximum penalty is therefore 30% of the potential lost revenue of £15,000, which is the liability which should have been paid by the 31st of January 2012. However, Oscar made a prompted disclosure within 12 months of the tax becoming unpaid, so the penalty may be reduced to a minimum of 10% of the potential lost revenue. A few final points in relation to late notification penalties. They must be paid within 30 days of the date the notice assessing the penalty is issued, or interest will be charged. The decision to issue a penalty, or the amount of the penalty, can be appealed against. Finally, a penalty will not be charged if the taxpayer has a reasonable excuse for the failure, and the failure is not deliberate.
One final important thing to note here is that the notification of chargeability provisions only apply to taxpayers who have not already received a tax return from the revenue. If a taxpayer receives a tax return, it is a safe assumption that the Inland Revenue already know that that person exists. Therefore, any income received or gains made in the tax year can simply be disclosed on the tax return in the normal way.
We have mentioned tax returns, so now let us have a look at what they are and what goes on them. Tax returns are typically issued by the revenue to taxpayers on the 6th of April immediately following the tax year.
So tax returns for the year ended 5th of April 2011, i.e. returns for the 2010-11 tax year, will usually be issued the day after the end of the year, i.e. on the 6th of April 2011. Every tax return requires the taxpayer to provide certain details. Any taxpayer must give details of all income received from all sources in the tax year. Any allowances to be claimed by the taxpayer also need to be claimed within the tax return. So, for instance, an elderly taxpayer entitled to an age allowance needs to claim that allowance on the return.
Any other claims for relief also have to be made on the tax return. So, for example, any deductible payments, any tax reducers, any contributions to pension schemes and so on, which qualify for tax relief, must be claimed within the tax return. As well as sending the taxpayer a basic tax return, the revenue will add on separate supplementary pages to the end of the basic form, depending on the particular source of income. So, for example, employees will receive employment pages to fill in. Those with rental properties receive property income pages, and so on.
So those taxpayers with many sources of income will complete the basic return and add on all the supplementary pages. Once the taxpayer has completed the tax return, he will sign a declaration to say that to the best of his knowledge and belief, the tax return is correct and complete. If the tax return turns out not to be correct and complete, i.e. there are errors or omissions, then
the revenue
do have powers to charge penalties for incorrect returns. Whereas all income tax returns require details of taxpayers' income and allowances, only some returns require the taxpayer to make what we call a self-assessment.
There are two separate dates for filing the return, depending on whether the taxpayer is filing a paper return or an online electronic return. Where the taxpayer completes a paper return, the return should normally be filed no later than the 31st of October following the end of the tax year. Therefore, for the tax year 2010-11, the paper return must normally be filed by the 31st of October 2011. However, the paper return can be filed within 3 months of the date of issue of the return if this is later than the 31st of October. Where a taxpayer completes an online return, the return should normally be filed no later than the 31st of January following the tax year end. Therefore, for 2010-11, the online return must normally be filed by the 31st of January 2012. However, the online return can be filed within 3 months of the date of issue of the return if this is later than the 31st of January. We will now consider the filing deadlines where a tax return is issued late. This might happen when a taxpayer has started in business and tells the revenue that he is chargeable to tax at, say, just before the 5th of October deadline. Here we will assume that the 2010-11 tax return is issued by HMRC to a taxpayer on the 25th of November 2011. The deadline for filing the return is the later of the 31st of January, or 3 months from the issue of the return. So in this instance, the later of these two dates is 3 months from the issue of the return. This means that the final date for filing the return is the 25th of November 2011 plus 3 months, which takes us to the 25th of February 2012. If the return is filed by this date, HMRC cannot charge any late return penalties. If a taxpayer files a return online, he does not have to worry about calculating his own tax liability. HMRC software will automatically calculate the tax liability. If the taxpayer is filing a paper return, he can self-assess his tax liability using the Tax Calculation Working Guide. However, where a return is submitted by the 31st of October, or 2 months from the issue of the return if later, HMRC will calculate the tax for the taxpayer if he wishes.
The taxpayer will tell the revenue what his income and allowances are, and the revenue will calculate the tax on his behalf.
For example, assume a tax return for the year ended the 5th of April 2011 is issued at the normal time, i.e. just after the end of the tax year on the 6th of April 2011. If the taxpayer wants HMRC to work out his tax liability for him, i.e. he does not want to self-assess, this tax return must be submitted no later than the 31st of October 2011, i.e. the 31st of October following the end of the tax year. Consider the position if the return is issued late. Assume HMRC send the taxpayer his 2010-11 tax return on the 3rd of September 2011. If the taxpayer does not want to self-assess, then he must submit the return by the later of the 31st of October 2011, or 2 months following the issue of the return. 2 months after the issue of the return here is the 3rd of November 2011. As long as this return is with HMRC by the 3rd of November 2011, the revenue officer will calculate the tax liability for the taxpayer. If the taxpayer wishes to file a paper return and is happy to self-assess, the deadline is the later of the 31st of October 2011, or 3 months from the date of issue of the return, being the 3rd of December 2011. You can see that where a return is issued late, the deadline for filing a paper return depends on whether the taxpayer wishes to self-assess or not. If the taxpayer misses the 3rd of December 2011 deadline in the above example, then all is not lost, because taxpayers have until the 31st of January to file their returns in order to avoid a penalty. The taxpayer would need to file an online return, in which case his tax liability will be calculated automatically. If the taxpayer misses the 31st of January 2012 deadline, HMRC will charge him penalties for the late filing of the tax return. Taxpayers who have relatively simple tax affairs may receive a 4-page short tax return instead of the longer return. Examples of the type of taxpayer who may be issued with a short return include employees with taxable benefits, self-employed traders with turnover of less than £30,000, and pensioners who have pensions and straightforward investment income.
The form is short and simple and has no facility to self-assess.
A simple guide will be included for taxpayers who want to make a rough calculation of the tax due. If the filing deadline is missed, the taxpayer can still file a return online, but this will be the longer return. There is no facility to file the short return online.